from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson, rocking with you all week. Sun's starting to come out finally. I don't know if it's necessarily shining on Oracle Park, but that's what we're trying to figure out, if the sun is going to shine on the Giants or if it's going to be just, you know, another 60-degree foggy day like it's been for the first two-thirds of this season.
I felt like water was on my face walking in. I'm like, is that mist, fog? What the, you know, is going on? But I'll say this, Evan, if I could make up a T-shirt for Giant fans right now, and I've been banging this drum all last week, for the Giants, the math is still there.
That's also,
all. It's 3.5 out with 54 left.
Well, they're not technically eliminated yet. I think the only team that's eliminated is the Chicago White Sox.
You're right there, Evan. Get hot.
Speaking of the Chicago White Sox and the NL West, not involving the Giants, they haven't made a trade, but the Dodgers continue to wheel and deal.
Shocker.
They got Tommy Edman right before the break from the St. Louis Cardinals, and they just acquired Michael Kopech, right-throwing flamethrower.
White Sox.
Starting pitcher at the beginning of the year, moved back to the bullpen. So they added their relieving core. I feel like those are, honestly, if I'm trying to wrap my mind around a move that Farhan would make, a move like that would probably be it. Like a guy that isn't necessarily a big name. I don't know how many people know about Michael Kopech. He's a former first round pick, but he's a guy that can kind of add depth to your bullpen. Tommy Edman is a utility player.
Yeah.
So he's someone that can help them during their, you know, they've sustained a lot of injuries. He can play tons of positions. I don't know if he'll necessarily be involved come October, but he can help you get there. And he might be able to help you if someone is also hurt, a la a Max Muncy or, I don't know, Mookie Betts, who's on the shelf right now for them, if he doesn't come back or has a setback. So, like, I think the Giants, if they're looking at buying, which I believe that they should do as opposed to sell, they're probably looking at players that are going to just marginally add to the team. I don't think that they're going to go out and try and swing big, but a lot of people want them to go.
Yeah, and on this next road trip, they're going to face the Reds, who are currently 5 out of the wild card, and the Nationals 6.5, Evan. But I'm looking at, to me, only the Marlins, Rockies, Angels, A's, and White Sox, who have been willing to deal in. That's what you got to choose from, unless you're one of those teams that are, you know, 5 out, but they feel like they have no chance. But what if I laid this on you and Giant fans? Good God, wake me up when Cobb comes back, but couldn't that be an addition? Obviously, he's been on your team. You got nothing from him. But if that day does ever come to where he could, you know, hit the rotation, you think that would bolster your starting rotation? Like, just that alone.
It also bolsters your bullpen because you can put Jordan Hicks into the bullpen, or you could move another starting pitcher back to your bullpen, because right now at full strength, they have what, six or seven guys basically. Now, someone like Birdsong might get sent down to AAA. He's kind of on the outside looking in of that rotation, but you look at Snell, Ray, Webb, Cobb, and of course, Kyle Harrison.
Yeah.
And then Hicks. Yeah, but you can move one of those guys. You can move Jordan Hicks to the bullpen. That means that you have, ideally, two back-end flamethrowers in Duvall and Hicks. Hicks could potentially even become the closer because Duvall has been struggling a lot this season. So
almost gave it up yesterday.
The health is not just about the rotation itself, but it's also about helping the bullpen. And again, the pitching of this team should be the strength. Now, they're not hitting at a historic rate.
That's what my problem.
And that's where I think that they could, if you're going to swing big, the two names out there to me are Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Luis Robert. Now, I think they could use more help in the outfield, but maybe they have, you know, more bodies out there. I don't know. They don't want to move Conforto, Yaz. I think those are also the two players that they could potentially sell
because they're on
the last year of their deal. So what do you do about the outfield? Ramos is your center fielder. You got two guys out there. Does Robert coming in means that Yaz gets bounced? You could flip Conforto. If you bring in Vlad, you know, does that move Lamont Wade back to the DH? But then what do you do with Soler? Like, there are parts that they'd have to move around no matter what.
But those would be good questions to, you know what I mean? If you were telling me you insert Vlad into this offense, oh my God, Evan, the rest will take care of itself. And I just said I'm a romantic, I'm a dreamer. But man, I just don't see Toronto saying not night-night to Vlad. But too many times this year, even when the Giants have collectively a good offensive day, it never is infectious. You know what I mean, Evan? It's just one guy will get hot like we saw Ramos do it for the whole first half. Now we're seeing Fitzgerald who, man, looks like Derek Jeter right now. I mean, he just looks great. But it never can be all of us catch fire. Now, there's 54 games left. It could happen. But guess what, Evan? You're not going to play the Rockies every day. And what did you tell me? What was it, 10-3 against what's the record against the Rockies this year, the Giants?
Yeah, 10-3.
Yeah, 10-3.
So I was having a conversation after I got back yesterday with my roommate, Mark Grandy, who's also hosting from 2-6, along with FB Santangelo and Dan Dibley.
Oh, three man.
And we're on a three man wave.
Big three.
Just like our 3-on-3. We'll have more on that later in the week. So I was talking to him because he was kind of, you know, filling me in on what the day by day was for the Giants, right? They come out of the All-Star break and then they lose 2 of 3 to the Riot. It just looks flat.
Yeah.
Like this team stinks and they're gross and they're horrible. And I can't believe that they would ever not choose to sell, right? Or I'm just kind of surmising.
But they were down, Evan. That was pathetic. Go ahead.
They were down bad. Yeah. But then I started to look at their whole season. I was like, wait a minute. After they beat the Rockies and swept them 4 straight, they're 10-3 against them this year. If I told you at the beginning of the year they went 10-3 against the Rockies, you'd probably take that.
Oh, no doubt.
But it's because they didn't go 11-2.
There you go.
Or 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
10-3 is a damn good record against a bottom feeder, no matter how bad they are. Remember, a big reason in 2021 that they were able to win 107 games is because they murdered the bottom of the NL West, right? They
took care of business.
Like 80% of games from the Diamondbacks and the Rockies or something like that. So, yes, that series, in the moment, felt like crap.
It was over. I thought it was a wrap. Saran.
But you're done with your season series with the Rockies, and you're actually sitting pretty.
Yeah, because of you handled business with those four, the Brett Favre against the Rockies. But Evan, that last, and I know this is not it is revisionist history, but that last getaway game against the Dodgers, where you came back, tied it up, and then Nick Ahmed, of all effing people, comes up to plate and hits the go-ahead home run. I mean, I was like, wow. So I do got to give them some credit for not letting that taste affect them these last 4 games against the Rockies. But the A's, I've said this, are entertaining. They play hard. They got power. It's not going to be easy. And Evan, when you're 2 games under 500 after 108 games, who the hell are you to point your finger at who's easy or not? But that's been the theme of the Giants all season long. The game that'll get them to 500. It's been elusive to them more times than not, regardless of the opponent. So something's going to have to change. I don't expect them to sell, But if Farhan were, if we got that news, that breaking news, and Lubman hit the sounder, this Snell was going to be in another uniform, that, my friend, would be the death and the end of the Farhan era. It should here in San Francisco.
Well, and there's another position player that's off the board. This is from John Heyman, reporting from Robert Murray that Tommy Pham is going to the St. Louis Cardinals. So,
what up, Pham? He'll be back. That's just, yeah, he was with St. Louis.
Yeah, he's been there before. So, again, this is, and St. Louis, now they just sold, technically, Tommy Edman, but was a guy that hadn't really helped them this year. He'd been injured quite a bit, but the St. Louis Cardinals are
one game back.
One game back, 2.5 ahead of the Giants right now in the NL wild card race. They're not in the third and final spot, but they just went on added a bat that can help them. The Chicago Cubs are beneath the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, they was it.
And they went
south
and traded for Isaac Paredes, former all-star with the Tampa Bay Rays. Now they moved off of Christopher Morel, who hadn't really been helping them so much this season, but they didn't go into sell mode. I don't think the Giants should or will go into sell mode. And that's really what we're trying to get to the bottom of, is what even sell mode would look like. Is it just all about Blake Snell? And are you moving Conforto? Or are you moving Yaz?
I think Conforto would be like the Pirates. A team like that, Conforto would, like, he would be attracted to them. But what could you get for him? But then also, if you're not getting a bat back, how do you replace Conforto? He hasn't had the best season by any stretch, but he's got what I love. A show on Stars, on hiatus right now. He's got power. Yeah, so when he's on, thank you, Lubman. When he's on, I like him. But at the end of the day, I do wonder if he's expendable. But you got to get something back for you to even take that chance.
And that's the thing. I don't think you'd be getting much back for him in general. You'd be getting cash considerations, and you would save, what, $6 million or the rest of his deal the rest of the season. Now, maybe, like, Tommy Pham is a better hitter than Michael Conforto, but maybe as a left-handed bat, Conforto's considered more of a premium by people. I just know that he hasn't been able to hit a baseball or hit water if he fell out of a boat the moment he came back from the IL.
Yeah.
So is he actually that valuable? I don't think the Giants should move him. The one position that is interesting, because, like, I think they could use an outfield upgrade, and that's why, to bring it back to Luis Robert, like, you're going to have to give up something for him. If you are of the mindset that you want a Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you are going to have to give up something to get him. Now, you're also going to have to probably pay Vlad. You don't have to pay Luis Robert. So someone like Luis Robert is going to be very expensive. That's a player that's going to cost you probably two or three top prospects. So to pay off the tease that we had coming into this segment, 2 years ago, a lot of people I heard were not willing to move Marco Luciano to, say, get Juan Soto. They were not willing to move these top prospects. I think Harrison was also another at the time. They were not willing to move both of those guys to go out and get arguably the best young hitter of his generation. Now, Vlad's not the best hitter of his generation, and neither is Luis Robert, but they're going to cost you a lot. Would you be willing to move off of Marco Luciano right now, having seen what you saw so far this season? Are you willing to move off of Luis Matos? Are you willing to move Kyle Harrison or Hayden Birdsong? These are players that are young, that are up and coming, that have a little bit of service time, but haven't shown you a ton. Are you willing to move those players? Because that's probably what it's going to take.
Well, I mean, 2020, Luis Roberts hit 47, he's had 38 homers last year. So that's like Soler, you know, that's on his resume. And you could be like, man, can he tap into that? But Evan, it's just 12 on the year this year, batting 210, 24 RBIs. But I think as far as Luciano, if I could get Roberts Jr., I would do that, because I think what transpired this season with him mentally, and how we don't know what he is as far as position wise. And now Fitzgerald, I'm not saying I'm sold on him, but dog, it looks like right now shortstop could be his. Evan, I would say yes to that deal. I would include Harrison too for Robert Jr.
Like, I
would do that. But his year right now is like, you got a bunch of guys doing that on the Giants, OGs, 210, 12 homers and 24 RBIs. But if he can be that guy that knocked 38 home runs out of the park last year and tap into that and be in a better lineup than he is in Chicago, I would entertain that.
I would as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about what the Giants do at the deadline. Again, it's coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so it'll be after our show. But the Giants don't play until tomorrow night, so they got to make the choice. Are they going to be sellers? Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to stand pat? What do you want to see from them? In a perfect world, what happens between now and 3 o'clock tomorrow for the San Francisco Giants? Because we've seen the Dodgers make a couple of trades. We've seen the Yankees make trades. We've seen even the Chicago Cubs, who are beneath the Giants, make trades. We've seen the Cardinals wheel and deal. 888-957-9570. What do you want to see happen? Evan Infersteiner with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Scout to Chico. Talk to our guy, Big Al, who's got a trade idea for the Giants. What's up, Big Al? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
I got a great trade the Giants could do. How about this one? Trade Camilo Duvall, Conforto, Luciano, Mason Black, and Yaz for Vlade Jr.
That's almost like a Herschel Walker trade, but...
You think it gets it done, Big Al?
Nah.
I mean, they're getting a lot of pieces. I mean, they're getting Luciano, Black, not to mention Yaz, and Conforto, and Duvall. I mean, if I was... Jays, I would really consider this. I would. But I don't know. I mean, that's my take, guys.
I got you, Big Al. No, look, I think Vladdy's the guy in the crosshairs for a lot of people. I know that's Bonte's guy, right? He wants Vlade Jr.
But would Toronto say yes to that? That's a lot of names, but I think Toronto would be like, yeah, I need a little more.
Well, and this is why you kind of have to read the rooms of teams. So... Yeah, I think all those players combined are, you know, pretty serviceable. They're decent players. But what is the point of Toronto trading away Vlade Jr.? It's to set themselves back. Yeah. Like, they're not going to get better if they trade away their best position player. And
so it's a reset.
One of the best home run hitters in the American League.
Man.
So the only prospect that I heard in that deal, and Big Al, I think that is a haul, but the only prospect in that deal is Luciano. So in a way... If I was the Blue Jays, I would rather trade you Bo Bichette for someone like Luciano, because at least I know I'm getting a position player in the middle infield back. Someone like Toronto, if you want Vlade Jr., you are going to have to give up prospects. If you want to get Luis Robert, you are going to have to give up prospects or young players. Again, that's why... The name Hayden Birdsong is going to be in those conversations. Yeah. Kyle Harrison. Let's just take a look at the Giants 25 and unders. Which players would you be willing to move to get rid of those guys? Because Patrick Bailey is also under 25. I would not move Patrick Bailey because I think he's very good and a piece you could build around. But I'm thinking about the outfield. I'll just say it. If I could trade for Luis Robert, I would trade Helly Ramos.
What about Eldridge?
Today.
Would you give up on his future?
Eldridge is an interesting one. I would involve Eldridge in a deal for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because he's also a first baseman. So I don't have to think about that position. Even if Eldridge turns into, you know, the next Josh Bell,
yeah.
Who people might forget was very good.
Might be moved here.
I think he actually just got DFA'd. But,
oh, good Lord.
Yeah, night. But that's the kind of decision making you have to think about. The positions, the haul. To get Luis Robert, who's under team control through 2027 and could be a player that could hit you 36 home runs like he did last season, I would trade your young all-star. I would trade. That's the whole point to me of the farm system of these prospects. If you're trying to win now, you're trying to produce good young players that can help you either on the field and win some games or being involved in packages that can get you better players. I think someone like Luis Robert, and for that matter, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., would be enough for me to move. I would move Eldridge for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I would move Ramos to go and get Robert.
Wow, Evan. I'm not mad at you, but man, outside of the 38 home runs for Roberts, he hasn't had 20. So, you know, the power thing, I don't know if that was a fluke year, but that's a heavy price. I'm not saying you're wrong. I would definitely need to think about it. But as far as the immediate, I do wonder, Luciano, if they damaged, you know, what they could get from him by having him come up and having, we can both agree that was a blunder, right? Do you still think he's a shortstop?
Luciano?
Do you still think teams look at him as a shortstop?
Probably not. But I also think it's just too young in his career to define him as one or the other. Like, I also don't think, I mean, just because he's not a good shortstop doesn't mean he'll all of a sudden be a great outfielder. Like, he's not.
Well, that's what concerns me. Like, we hadn't even heard of a position switch, or it's even be, it's just like a, he's a nothing burger right now.
But that's, it's not the same situation as someone like Tatis. Like, Tatis made too many errors at shortstop, so they put him in right field. He turned into a gold glove. Yeah. Like, that just doesn't happen. You got to be a really good defensive player. And so far, Luciano has not shown himself to be that. So what is his value? His value is his bat. And to me, his bat plays better if he is a middle infielder, because you can find corner outfielders to go out and mash. I mean, the Rockies have a couple of them, and they stink. The guy Toglia or whatever.
What, 18 homer? How many he's had?
He's slugging.
Yep.
Like, he can go and he can play left field. You know, like, so Luciano is a guy that I think teams were probably hotter on a couple of years ago. But that's again.
And we had been waiting. When you heard that name, Evan, it was like, here we go. He's up. And Ramos is the one doing it. I mean, he made an all-star game, but still, he's kind of tailing off the second half. I'm not blaming him by any stretch, but he's still balling. But outside of that, man, what has Farhan really done?
He has made the playoffs once in his first six seasons, and he's trying to get back there this year. Look, he's trying to get back there.
And how many more cracks will he have?
That's the question. And I think, the last 54 games of this season are going to determine how many cracks, how many more at-bats Farhan Zaidi gets.
You know what, Evan? That should be it. And I agree, and I guess I'm getting lightweight irritated because I feel like the Giants have a faceless ownership. I feel like they have an ownership that doesn't care. Some could say, well, why would you say that? They let him go spend. But that was just to save face because they struck out and they didn't have anybody to sell. Not only their team, their ballpark, but the city. We've heard all kind of stuff popping off, and Farhan was one of those. I know he walked it back, Evan, but I'm curious to see if somehow this Giant team doesn't get their goal and make the wild card, how a guy like himself with his track record could survive.
Only ownership. And then at that point, it's not necessarily a judgment of Farhan. It's a judgment of ownership. You know, that's really what you're talking about, because Farhan can't keep his own job. He can't hire himself. He also can't fire himself. Someone's got to do it for him. So I think that's what we'll find out also by the end of this season. This is from the 650. Evan, so you'd rather have Roberts and Soler in the same lineup. How about trading Soler in a package? Well, I'm not inclined to give up on Soler, just like the reason why I would also want to acquire Luis Robert's services is because they're both under contract. So you have control. It's not, I think a big reason why people want to sell Snell is because his future in San Francisco is TBD. That's a question mark.
He controls it.
Exactly. And if he pitches well down the stretch of the season, he's probably going to test free agency. Now,
if they didn't make it, why wouldn't he, right?
But I think that's also why teams would be afraid to give up a ton for Blake Snell, because he might, unless they view him as the difference, as the thing that would get them to the World Series, which, I don't know, it could be the Yankees, could be the Orioles. I don't know. Maybe I'm foolish. I don't see teams, especially prospect laden teams like the Yankees and Orioles specifically, that have good farm systems. I don't see them giving up a ton of big name prospects for Blake Snell when they don't control his future.
But you know what, Evan?
Or, for example, the Yankees, because the Yankees have already tried to sign Blake Snell.
And that's
he
what
turned
took
down
so
5 years, $150 million dollars from them this offseason. So why would he all of a sudden then sign there this offseason again?
Well, going through what he's going through, you know, with the Giants and seeing where they may really be at. But the bottom line is, I mean, damn, Evan, if I'm the Yankees and I got those resources at my disposal and you could right the wrong of blowing it with Snell this offseason, he's got to look at the pinstripes. We got action every year, and I could be the ace of this staff along with Gerrit Cole. Why wouldn't that be attractive to him? Like, I think it was botched, but to kind of rectify that and fix it, especially after what he's experienced here, if I'm the Yankees, I would feel confident in our front office is getting him as a rental, but also keeping him in pinstripes.
But
that's how I would go at it. Like, it would be worth that risk to, yeah, we messed it up, you know, in the offseason, because that's where they said he wanted to go. And it didn't happen. But good God, Evan, if the Yankees can't get you or turn you around into staying, I don't know who can.
Well, I think it does take a particular kind of athlete to want to play in the Mecca, to play in New York, to be specifically a Yankee. And not that Snell wouldn't want to be, although he probably has some disdain for them from his time in the AL East with Tampa Bay. But I'm just saying he already turned down a massive contract offer from them this offseason.
You think he regrets that?
He probably regrets not being available for spring training, which whatever team he was going to sign for. I don't think he regrets not being a Yankee, because he also probably looks at the market this offseason and says, I can still go get 5 for $150.
I'll be the big fish.
And maybe it's in San Francisco, but that's a question for down the line. All right, Chris is in Santa Rosa, wants to talk about potential players that the Giants could move or should move. What's going on, Chris? You're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hey.
Awesome.
Hey, right on, guys. Hey, with all due respect, your Helio Ramos for Luis Robert thing doesn't make a lot of sense to me personally. I think the Giants finally have a guy that they've spent a lot of time investing in that's producing. Luis Robert is injury prone. I would love to have him on the Giants, but I honestly think that Luciano is the guy to trade. You know, the Giants don't have a spot for him. He clearly needs some, like, you know, some defensive development. So why not ship him out for something? I don't think we're going to get anything for Soler. I don't know. That's just kind of my thought right now.
I got you, Chris. I want to dig into that more on the other side. You know, moving off of Luciano, but not Ramos. Who do you value right now in the Giants? Who do you want to keep? Who do you want to sell? Who would you like to buy for? We can dig into it more as we continue on the other side. Also, 1 hour away from Mark Schlereth, we're going to get into the 49ers and his comments specifically about Brandon Ayuk and him holding in. I'll just give you a little preview. He was not a fan. So we're going to have that conversation coming up in an hour on 95.7 The Game. Go ahead and download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for your first NorCal financing at the dealer. Evan Impastini, Guru, back after this, 95.7 The Game.
It's the Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny Show. Let's go.
I missed you guys, man. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I missed you guys.
By the text message, but you said you couldn't. What? You didn't have action. I just had to throw that out there. Guru Analytics.
What do you have? I text you guys like 2 in the morning.
But we communicated IG. You and I.
Yes.
You
know. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I told you. I was on a... Dude, okay, first of all, I might be as technologically savvy as Steiny, and yes, that's an intentional shot. I didn't know how to download an international eSIM card.
Oh,
so I literally was not able to text you guys unless I had Wi-Fi. But, you know, I was out and about doing, you know. So I was only able to text you through IG the first, like, 3 days.
Okay, gotcha.
In Stockholm.
My boy out there moving and grooving. The shade and rocks you got hit with when you text the show. Bonte's like, is he striking out there? I'm like, the guy's just show support for a show, Bonte. Stoddy is like, what's he do? Like, good God. The dude is not, what's my guy, you half nerd, dude. Let him live a little bit. Good Lord. Can he listen to the Odyssey app?
Yeah, I mean,
did you hear what happened Thursday, real quick?
No,
I got some food poisoning.
All right, so this is the other
Spadoni
part of it.
Was in for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Thursday.
On Thursday?
Yeah, they went at
goo.
Me. Yeah. A little food poison. I won't say where I think I got it from, but I was out.
The goo flu?
Yeah, the goo flu.
You can't have that happen on a Thursday.
Yeah, they went at me.
Actually, I take that back. I did come back. You know, like every time I hopped on the Wi-Fi back at the house, I just get a flood of messages. One was from Steiny that says, goo's out, quote, it's Thursday.
Now take the knife. He didn't tell me he did that. I said, did Evan find out? But yeah, I had to just.
No, I think he just felt bad because you know, he does his best to keep the people off.
And he started the show. Him and Spadoni did a phenomenal job. He said, don't come at my guy. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, well, you know, I always enjoy being in. But yeah, it's not the same. We got to have the whole crew here. So Steiny and I kind of flip-flopped. I was in Stockholm and around Sweden last week. And then Steiny is now in London dropping his daughters off. And we're probably going to be in different moods because I know he's got that going on. But yeah, like I missed you guys, man.
I missed you too.
It was fun listening to the show a couple times. But that was the first thing that Bonte said to me this morning was, dude, you listening to the show?
Wow, man.
Like, like I Like, I can't tap in to see what's going on with my guys?
Yeah, I'm not in the you-know-what industry, bro. I'm living. I can turn on my phone. I defended you.
Well, I also, you know, may or may not have used the show to meet some friends and meet some people. Yeah, you know, the Europeans are not as focused as we are on sports. Like, they're not tapped into their, for example, like the local team, Jurgården, their football club.
Jurgården.
Okay, well, is not, a, like... They're not as locked into that team as they say, I don't know, you know, maybe like another European football club. Like it's the local team. They support the team, but they might as much be into that as the Swedes are into another very Swedish thing. Like they're very prideful, culture.
Okay.
So there's this golfer whose first name, I think, is Ludwig, but he's like the number four golfer in the world. So they know more about that and that specific athlete than maybe the less center back on Jurgården. They just support the team because it's a part of Sweden.
Gotcha.
But the athletes themselves don't really mean that much.
Ludwig, not love men.
Ludwig.
Okay.
Ludwig.
Like summer of love.
Summer of love.
Now, Evan, I got a quick question for you. We're talking about Farhan and the Giants. If we remove the Giants and I just said to you, I'm older than you and love men, I've seen a lot in sports. I have. I've seen teams where there were no wild card division leaders in September blow a 9-game lead. Okay. I've seen that squandered. I've seen the Patriots come back on the Atlanta Falcons 25 points in a Super Bowl. Okay.
Oh boy.
So remove the Giants name. And I just say said baseball team is 3.5 games out of the playoff spot with 54 left. That's not Mount St. Helen, like that's something that's in my world kind of, I could see that happening easy.
Yeah, well, I don't know about easy, but to your point, you're not scaling K2.
Exactly.
You know, like you're not going up Everest. You're trying to climb a hill that has kind of treated like Sisyphus most of the season, which is you get close to the top and then you roll back down.
But you've been the biggest reason. Your errors have led to why you haven't been able to do it. You got the tools, but you've been messing up.
Well, I think they've had the tools most of the season, but either players have been non-productive or they've been hurt. And, you know, they still have guys on the shelf, but it does look like, again, the most important part of their team, the pitching staff, is beginning to get fully healthy. And that's why, in my opinion, if you want me to just kind of boil it down, the reason why I'm not selling Snell is because I'm not giving up on this rotation. I'm not giving up on the sole reason that I felt confident that the Giants were not necessarily going to be a 90-win team, but could make the postseason. It's because of their starting pitching. And that the head of the snake is Blake Snell. And I do not want to remove him from that equation, because then I do think that means that your season is going nowhere.
Okay, let me add an S to that. Because my fear is, Evan, you had no business at Nordstrom's if you didn't think that you could, you know, he was going to use that option and be back next year for the future. This was supposed to be somewhat of a successful season that culminated in a playoff berth, which still can, and Snell was going to be here for the foreseeable future. And Willard, our last Friday, I remember this, Evan, he said he had a... He had heard through the grapevine that last Dodger game, pregame, one of the Dodger coaches said to a Giant coach, boy, nobody wants to see you guys in a short series, talking about their pitching of Webb, Ray, and I know he throws tomorrow, Robbie Ray, and Snell. And I get that, but why can't that? Children are our future. Why, pitchers are our future. Why can't that be the mantra for the Giants? It still can, but a lot of things are going to have to turn around, but I would never wave the white flag after I went to Nordstrom's. That's why I brought that up, thinking I might get off of this or pull the plug on this experiment with 54 left. That is just maddening to me.
Well, yeah, you have a third of your season left. Literally, two-thirds of a season have gone by. It should be. Now, I don't think it's enough to pull the plug based on what you did. Again, the tone-setting moves this offseason was that it was playoffs or bust. I believe if you sell at the deadline, you move yourself automatically into the bust category.
Wow.
And that's a place that I can't put myself.
Yeah.
Number one, I mean, it just as a fan of the team, you know, maybe people, I don't know, like, are there people out there that do not want to see them try to make the playoffs?
I think Joe Shasky, one of the biggest Giant fans, him and Bonte, and I respect him. I disagree, but it's like, because you never know how close it'll be. You could go on a Sacramento Kings or a Warrior non-playoff run, Shasky, to where it's 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, tomorrow is not promised, so I know he's not fond of what he's seeing now, but Evan,
I am rooting against the Giants.
That is like,
well, I guess
he's not by himself.
I hadn't heard that, Sam.
But good God, let us know how you feel, Evan. I can't throw that away. You never know. And
you,
I will.
You don't, but
I got to get something off my chest when you're done.
But you can also make an educated guess. Like, all right. So we're both advocating for them not to sell. You want them to buy more. I would rather see them try and acquire a player or two that helps them both this season, but mainly keep it together, see how it goes, and maybe a guy that could help you, you know, down the line. Because you're also going to have to replace some players.
Right.
Yaz, Conforto, maybe they're on their way out, maybe they're not. I'm not sure. But there are players on this team that will not be on the team next year. I mean, I can't strip this thing down to bare parts right now because that doesn't, And Dave Fleming said selling doesn't mean tanking. But to me, selling Snell does mean tanking.
I'm with you, man.
Selling a couple of pieces, selling a little bit of this team.
Your top tier players, to
yeah,
me, is
your best guys.
That's it.
Matt Chapman, I know he hasn't been swinging the bat
super impressively
this season. He's almost a 5-win player. Like Matt Chapman, with what he does defensively and what he's able to, you know, help you with the gravy on top of the plate, he's your best position player. Helio Ramos is the player that I would look at and say, well, he's the reason why you kind of are successful offensively. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, yeah, you're right, Goo. I'm not willing to give up on this season. And I think that maybe it's because also part of this, too, is the Shaskys and the fans that are just fed up.
They are fed.
That are
this team
done.
Is boring. They wouldn't even order pizza for that said playoff, the wild card game, because the team is not sexy to him, Evan, and I kind of get that, but my point is, I'm just telling you, be careful what you wish for. You're single, I'm spoken for, but when I was single, Evan, I'm being real. This bad analogy, Goo, on a Monday.
Okay.
There was nothing like when I was dating. The young lady was beautiful.
Oh.
I would bite my knuckle on the way to pick her up for our date because you knew when you laid eyes on her, it's like, that is beauty. And that's how I believe some Giant fans are looking at this team. And right now they're ugly and they don't want that date of the wild card game because it's not sexy. But I want to tell you, no, it's company. It's something to do that day. It's going to be the Giants versus whomever. Why would you want to kick that to the curb, not knowing what the future holds?
Well, if we're going to go down the road,
horrible, no.
I want to use this. Right. I want to use this analogy because I want to go down this road. The issue is that it's not like you're picking the girl up for the first date. You're not biting your knuckle because you're seeing her for the second or third time, and you got butterflies, right? it's rabbit season for those that get that reference. It's because you've been seeing the same girl for. Or man, whatever you choose.
Okay.
You've been seeing them for a long period of time and nothing really seems to change. And so you're not even thinking about seeing them. You're thinking about, well, you know, this is kind of going to be the same. You know, we're going to go for a walk down in Chrissy Field and it's going to be foggy and it's going to be a little cold. And we're going to talk about the same things that we've been talking about for the last 5 years because we've really only had one exciting part of our relationship and the rest of it's been a bit of a dud. Like, I think that's where a lot of people are coming from in the relationship analogy. There's nothing that has, spruced the relationship between the fans and Farhan. There's nothing that is.
Thank you. Love you, Carter. But I hear you, E.
But I would also like to bring in our two producers, if possible, Sam and Carter. And Sam, I'll start with you because, you know, you're a fan. You obviously cover the Giants. You were there
garlic
this weekend.
Garlic fries and guys.
Garlic fries and baseball guys. Shout out to Odyssey. Download wherever you get your podcast. But Sam, like, where do you fall on this? Like, do you want them to buy? Do you want them to sell? I mean, what do you want for the rest of this season?
I mean, I'm at this point where it's year 6 under Farhan Zaidi. And I'm tired of waiting around. I'm tired of just being mediocre. So I'm going to kind of answer this question backwards in a sense. The last thing I want to see happen is stand pat. If you stand pat, that just shows no direction. Farhan's absolutely gone.
Oh, boy.
I think if, depending on what kind of offers you get for Blake Snell, I think you have to kind of consider that. I kind of want to see this team try and at least make a run and make some sort of a push for the postseason. So I would like to see a buy, but Like, it's going to have to be a big swing. Like, if you make like an around the margins move to improve, that's not enough. I think you got to make that big Vladimir Guerrero Jr. type swing. I would be on board with that. And I say that knowing that the odds that are very, very low. If the Giants do decide to sell, you know, Guru, I agree with you. That's the final nail in the coffin for Farhan Zaidi. So to answer the question, I would like to see them swing big or just sell off.
Carter, before you go, let me just double back and ask you this. Can you compartmentalize your disdain for Farhan and not take it out on this team with a third of the season left trying to accomplish their goals? Because I feel like a lot of Giant fans are so mad at this dude, they almost want to see the team fail.
No, I can't.
Okay.
To be honest, I'm pretty much in the same boat as Loveman. Yeah. I'm more in Shasky's boat. This needs to end.
Wow, man.
This needs to be over. This has been 6 years now. I've seen enough. We went from the Barry Bonds era, then to winning three championships. I expect greatness from the Giants, and we have not gotten greatness under this guy. He's mediocre.
You're talking about Farhan?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So, but I think that's an interesting dynamic to this too.
Wow, man.
Because, and maybe I'm parsing a bit too much, Carter, but one of the reasons why you don't want to see the Giants make a run is because it means that guy's going to stick around.
Correct.
That is deep, man. Wow.
And that's where it's gotten to the point of this swirling cycle, this carousel of mediocrity that diehard fans, and Carter's, what, I don't know, 17th generation San Franciscan, is...
Whereas it'll be on a 3-3 team. Yeah. We got to get a permission slip.
News is coming out later in the week. Man, yeah. Quit giving
Call
the teases.
Goo bomb.
48 hours. Shout out Eddie Murphy.
No pressure, Carter. Go ahead.
But he would rather have them lose than have to think about, well, they're going to win, even if they make the playoffs. Wow. Like me, it's Operation Postseason.
Man.
I want to see him try and get in, and I would be happy if that happened. But there is a segment of the fan base that is just so fed up with the paltry results of what Farhan has produced on the field that they would rather them just lose the rest of the year if it means Zaidi's gone.
Wow.
They've gotten to that point.
And you know what, Evan? Guys, I do talk to myself. And right now, I just slap myself like Rick James. Listen, I do this with Dallas. I want them to lose so McCarthy and Dak will be gone. So how dare I come down Carter's and the Shaskys of the world.
You don't mean that, though.
No, I do. I want it over. And you know this. So how can I just check myself of, I understand that. I've had that feeling. So, wow. And that's heavy. It's sad. But I'll tell you what it doesn't do, Evan. It does not have any damn bearing on what the Giants are going to do. The players start tomorrow at Oracle against the A's, the Nationals, and wherever they go after, they control their own destiny as far as trying to make up 3.5 games with 54 left.
No, but I do think that, and maybe this is a little naive of me, but yet again, we kind of started the show by going through the five previous deadlines of the Giants, which is why I actually don't think, you guys behind the glass want them to either sell it all or go all in. History says they're not going to do either of that. And in fact, they're probably going to sit where Sam is going to be really pissed off because they're probably going to stand pat.
I believe that.
And they're not going to do much because in 2019, they sold Mark Melancon. That was the biggest trade that they made, but they kept Madison Bumgarner. That didn't work out, flamed out spectacularly. Bochy was gone a year later. 2020, they were two games below 500 at the deadline, which they currently are, and they didn't sell. In fact, they did nothing. The next year they bought, they got Chris Bryant, helped him to the postseason, but they didn't really need him. He didn't produce enough against the Dodgers to win a series. And the last two offseasons, or the last two trade deadlines, pardon me, they have done neither. They haven't moved in one direction or the other. They have continuously tried to thread this needle of building for now and for later. And in reality, they've really done neither. They've done neither of those two things. They haven't built for later, and they haven't been able to improve themselves now. What I would look at, though, however, are the pieces that they should not get off of. And actually, the 2020 trade deadline is the one that I look at as an example of, granted, best case scenario, but it could come to fruition, which was, in 2020, they were 17-19.
Okay.
They chose to not trade Kevin Gausman and Evan Longoria, along with a host of other players. Those two players were instrumental in their start to the 2021 season and their offense throughout that year, which they won 107 games. So if they had traded those players, you might not have gotten 2021. You might be sitting here without a single postseason berth in the Zaidi era if they had sold at the same place they are right now, which is two games below 500. I would rather keep some players that could help you next year as opposed to going full-fledged, just flame it all, burn the house down to the ground. I would rather keep some of that foundation.
No, I understand
that. Actually, I'd rather keep most of it.
I'm going to use something from the great late great Prince, the sign of the times. Those years, Farhan, he was the man. He could do no wrong. He knew he wasn't going anywhere. And according to who you believe, Evan, I mean, this dude's under pressure. So there are two scoreboards in my estimation. And if I'm fighting for my job and I know it behind closed doors, but that still means that I still have the keys in my hand, Evan, we're going to see an addition or a trade by the San Francisco Giants in regard to adding. But if I've been neutered and stripped of that, then that'll speak for itself. And it'll be what Sam was talking about. He would be upset if they stand pat. But I just feel like we can't look at the past track record. We can't, Evan. He's never been in this situation, I don't believe. Farhan, knowing that he's hearing it, they're writing about it. Alex Pavs last week, you know, did the post a great job on CNN's post game show, and he didn't say Farhan, but he didn't have to. Like, some guys are fighting and managing and coaching for their job. Like, that something has to come of this season. So Farhan's no dummy. I do believe if that pressure will get to him to make him facilitate a trade, knowing this is my last ditch effort at saving my ass.
Like, he's almost just been treading water for so long. He's either got to make a final push to get to land or he's going to sink.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you even try? You know what I mean? Go out guns blazing.
Well, because it's not really his style. I mean, Farhan Zaidi doesn't strike me as a cowboy that's going to go out.
Well, you better do something now, or you're going to
kick the door down and go 12 in the chamber.
Looking for work, allegedly, which I still don't think is the case. But I don't think this dude's under any pressure, man.
Farhan?
Yeah, I really don't. That 2-year extension was a slap in the face to Giant fans.
Well, perhaps, but I do think he feels pressure. I mean, it seems like we've heard more from Farhan this season than in past seasons regarding both his future and the state of the franchise. Now, he's been able to talk from a bird's eye view before, like we've heard him, but I don't think he has ever been this critical of his own creation, if you know what I mean. Like, he literally said before the deadline, right,
that the players need to do it.
The players are going to tell us where we're going to go.
Not, don't put it on me.
They responded against Colorado. Well, that doesn't tell me much, but in one sense, you do have to win those games. Like, if they had split with Colorado, and right now they sit four games below 500, then I think we might feel a lot differently. If they weren't 3.5 back of the wild card, if they didn't, and this is again why I think they do have a chance to make the postseason, is the four teams in front of them are not all that impressive.
Man.
Especially the Giants could add someone. Now, this is from the 213, pardon me, the 415. That ain't happening. I think he's talking about, or she's talking about, making a big deal. That ain't happening, dude. They don't have any big pieces, the Giants don't, that any other team wants. I would rebuke that statement. And I would say that the Giants have pieces that other teams want. The question is, do the Giants want to give up those pieces? Because they're finally, and this is the other dynamic too, that some people hypothesize could save Zaidi's job, which is we're finally starting to reap the benefits of our young players. We're finally starting to see production from Ramos. I know Matos hasn't been great, but he does have a player of the week.
Fitzgerald's been incredible.
Fitzgerald, he's a little bit older, but I'm talking about like the 25 and younger.
Gotcha.
You know, Bailey looks like he's a cemented piece. Birdsong looks like he can deal a little bit. Kyle Harrison is had some nice outings this season.
But Evan, when you say those names, if that's your metric, so 2028, 2029 is when you're telling Giant fans to get excited? Because that's what it sounds like, you know, when we just focus on the young.
The young?
Yeah, when we focus on the young players, like, when can you realistically look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, get excited. We're about to knock down that playoff door. Here we come. When I just hear those names back to back back, I just keep, you know, kicking the can down the road as far as success and the playoffs year after year after year. And that gets me to 2028. You know, 2027.
But you're already looking, like, if you sell everything, if you go scorched earth and you fire Farhan and you sell everything you had to sell during this deadline, You are looking at 2027, 2028. Like, I'm serious. Why would you even think about competing in 2025?
Well, okay.
Or 2026, for that matter.
But that's what the $200 million payroll signaled to me when he went and spent on four or five players, thinking, okay, they got action. But now you're right. Snell might, this year might end up with no playoffs and he's in night-night, so you lose him. But it's just like, I'm not even worried about Chappie, but the bottom line, Evan, in my experience, how many times have we seen a team that's two games under 500 before the deadline, a day before the deadline, really look themselves in the mirror and say, we got action? That's what scares me about this, too, as far as if a Giant fan is in the camp of ad, how many under 500 teams have said, yeah, we took it all in, Evan. You know, Snell was bad, got off to a late start. We've been hurt. Soler kind of sleepwalking. You know what? We're going to add because we think 108 games is really not indicative of who we are.
Well, that's why I think that, you know, the two position players that kind of fit the bill of someone that helps you this year to make a push to the postseason, but can also be a future piece of your franchise, those two players are Guerrero Jr. and Luis Robert.
Man.
I believe that Luis Robert is more of the player that Zaidi would want and perhaps be willing to pay for, because he's not only under team control, but he is also relatively cheap. Now, I think he gets a pay bump up to, it's either 15 or 20 million for the remaining, for the remainder of his time. And he's going to be arbitration eligible and all the rest. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you're going to have to pay. And that's, I think, the only reason that Toronto would trade him in the first place, is they don't want to pay him a massive sum of money in the near future.
And why would the Giants, if they feel like they're not close or they got to hit the reset button?
That's why I think the guy that threads the needle for me is Luis Robert. Uh-huh. And I would be willing to give up Elliot Ramos to get him. Because I also think, and we've seen this, like, so the full trade that came in a couple segments ago, The Dodgers got Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech from the White Sox and the Cardinals. The White Sox received three of the Dodgers prospects in that deal. Miguel Vargas, who's kind of a guy. Alexander Albertus, who is a 19-year-old corner infielder. He's a top 20 prospect in the Dodger system.
Yeah.
And then Haral Perez, who's more of the centerpiece of that. He's a futures game participant. He's a top 15 prospect. He's only, I think, 20 or 21 years of age. He's a hitter. And he's a middle infielder. Like, those are the kinds of guys that the Dodgers can use to go out and get someone that helps them now. The Giants, meanwhile, are a team that's in a place where they have to find someone that can help them this year, but also next season, because they don't have a ton of prospects. If you're going to use them, you got to use them on a guy that you're going to envision being around. And that's why Luis Robert, to me, is perfect. He's the perfect position for the Giants to go in for, who can help you make a push to October this year, who's under team control, and if he's healthy, is going to hit 30 home runs or more per year, and he's only 27 years of age. So he fits, he checks all three boxes for me of what I want in a trade deal. That to me would be buying. That to me would be going all in, is creating a package centering around Elliot Ramos to going and getting Luis Robert. But how do fans feel about that? About,
because I got an answer for it. I wouldn't do it. On the other side,
on
I'll
the
tell
other
you
side. 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by LifeSource Water System.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.